Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning and welcome back to the first two-hour Trigger Talk Radio show in a year. How about that? We are going to be on. Martha, put the coffee pot on. Dick's going to be on for 2 hours today. Yep, we are. We're going to talk guns for 2 hours. And it's December 4th. Here we are, December 4th. And, you know, it's actually it's sunny out and stuff, but we did get some snow this week and stuff. So that was kind of, you had a surprise, 4 inches and then 3.5 inches. It was kind of fun. I was out there snow blowing and stuff. I know. We got to get into the Christmas spirit here a bit, but starting today, we're going to be for 2 hours. Okay. And, that'll include, and we got a few weeks before Christmas, I'll have lists of good things to buy for the gun person in your life or yourself or hints that you can give people that maybe you didn't think about, stuff like that. We'll start talking about those things in the next couple of weeks as well. And do not forget that next week, now we just heard of Salvation Army and the 1,600 Toys for 1,600 Girls and Boys advertisement that was on, and that is always something that's cool. Well, in case you hadn't heard, next week on December 11th, we're going to be doing a live remote from Walmart in Saline. And we've done this in years past. We missed last year because of the pandemic. But we're back doing it again now. And I do not know all the details if we're going to have the same participation. In the past, we had the Salvation Army was with us, and that was always fun. And then we in the past had the state police there. They were picking up toys, and they were out in front. And actually, the first time we did it several years ago, I got a kick because I pulled up to park at the Walmart, and there were a bunch of lights shining, you know, flashing at the entrance. There were some cruisers out in front, and I thought, oh my goodness, is there a problem? No, it was for us. We were doing a remote, and they were helping us gather toys. And we had some troopers there with us who were collecting things. It was a lot of fun. And we do it at Walmart for a couple of reasons, but it's a great place, and it's easy for people to come and see us. But also, if you have not purchased a toy yet for somebody to drop off at one of the 1,600, there aren't 1,600 boxes. The boxes for 1,600 toys for girls and boys around town. And I know I heard Theron this week and also the promos that are reading off where you can drop those off. But if you haven't bought anything yet, you can... You can actually come in and buy something right at Walmart and then drop it off to us on the way out. It's a great way to do it. So at any rate, and some people, I got to tell you, I tell this story every year. A friend of mine named Rick, if you're listening, Rick, and he and his wife came 1 year, and they walked in and went shopping and came back, and they brought two kids' bikes, a boy's bike and a girl's bike, and left them with us. And I thought, how wonderful that is. So next week we will be at the Walmart in Saline at the south entrance from 11 o'clock until 1 o'clock. So my 2 full-hour show will be there, and Theron will be with me, okay? He's always there when we do the remotes because he runs the – he's our electronic wizard that runs the boards and stuff, and then he patches us in so electronically to Derek, who's back here at the studio making sure everything works right, and normally it does. Occasionally we have a problem. We've had to do it with cell phones before, haven't we, Derek?
Yeah. We've had to do it that way, and hopefully it'll go out without any problems next week.
The hot spots and stuff that we use are better now, although one time we actually ran a cord or something, or we did something with the subway at Walmart. That was great. And then one time I actually, we were doing a remote from someplace in Plymouth. I think it was Cornwell Patio and Pools, who at the time had a big, you know, Christmas display and stuff. And I ended up doing it from the parking lot with my cell phone because we couldn't get it to work right. So, but, you know, the sound quality is not quite as good, but we still had the show must go on, right? So anyway, it's Christmas time, and so we're going to, you know, I started listening this week. Theron does all these fun, I got to tell you, his some people would call his music taste quirky, eclectic, but I got to tell you, I heard one this week that he was doing. He started playing, some Christmas songs during the day, and it made me, you know, blow coffee out my nose, like he says. So the Christmas music was on, and it was called Daddy Drank Our Christmas Money. And I thought, boy, it's hard to top that. That was an excellent one. And I'm sure he's going to have more of those in store for us. But I'll tell you what, not to be outdone, we at Trigger Talk Radio here have a traditional piece that we always play. And it's got guns and Christmas in it. So here we go. If you're not tapping your fingers on the desk when you're listening to that, there's something wrong with you. That is such a fun song. That puts a smile on your face. That's a Royal Guardsman from 1967. So they had done an earlier Snoopy song in 66, and then they followed up with a Christmas song. You know, that's what everybody was hoping for. And, you know, you really have to suspend belief because you got the Red Baron, and he's fighting against a beagle. And actually, the Beagle would kind of look like, I think Theron probably would like this song, because the Beagle's probably kind of like Freeway was, you know. he would have done that, okay, or she would have done that, I don't remember. So at any rate, it's fun this time of year. We'll talk about all sorts of things. And listening to the shows, listening to Theron's show during the week, On the Edge with Theron, and then all the shows on the weekend. It's so much fun. We got a powerhouse lineup, you know, with we've got Ed Bondarenko from Ypsilanti, who calls in occasionally, and, well, most of the time, and with his show. And we've got Pastor Rick with his show, and we've got Ed Hoffman with his show. We got a powerhouse lineup on Saturday, so that'll be fun. Let's see. We have got gun shows in Michigan, and so if you're thinking about, this is a good time to be able to get some gun items. Although the only one around in Michigan today is at the original Grand Rapids Gun and Knife Show at the 4 Mile Showplace. So there will be some more locally before Christmas, because there's a lot of times you can pick up fun little things. We will, like I said, I don't know if we'll get into it today. Although with our new expanded format, with more time, we have time for things like Christmas lists and silly songs and stuff like that. So we're going to have a lot of fun. Maybe not today, but sometime in the future we'll have some contests and things like that. So it's always fun. Ohio, let's see. We've got the Miami Town Gun and Knife Show at Whitewater Township in Ohio. The Miami Town Elementary School campus is having a gun and knife show. Oh, my God, how can they do that? You can't have guns on school grounds. Because, you know, that nobody would, don't even get it. We will talk about the elephant in the room in a little while. Let's see, Tri-State Gun Show in Lima, Ohio, the R&R Marietta Gun Show in Marietta, Ohio, and the Warren Niles Gun Show in Warren, Ohio. Missouri's got the Taney County Gun Show in Branson, Missouri at the Branson Sports Club, and the St. Joseph Gun and Knife Show in St. Joseph, Missouri. And even New York has a show. I hope Mike from Long Island is actually in New York right now. There is a show called the Port Jefferson Militaria and Sportsman Gun Show in Mount Sinai, New York. Let's see. For CPLs, we do have new numbers, being the fourth of the month, and they did post them actually at 7:30 in the morning on December 1st. However, I got to say, they're just being sloppy and lazy. They still show it as October 4th. So come on, state police. Update your link to say that it's the December 1st numbers, okay? But our numbers for this month now are 766,490. So up about 2,000. And the number, I want to say we're only down, no, we're up another 200 in the pending. So we got 6,400 pending. I don't know. Okay, so if we're going to talk about the gun or the elephant in the room right now, and it has been nothing but solid news on it since it took place, was the shooting at Oxford High School. And there are so many things that went wrong there, things that went right too. They had a resource officer in the school who within 5 minutes was there, and that beats the time that it takes for cops to drive there and stuff like that. He and another deputy, they stopped it very, very quickly. Not quick enough for four people that were killed and seven that are injured still. But that worked, okay, the fact that you had an armed resource officer in the school, okay? Oh, but people don't want to have guns in school because that's terrible. Well, sometimes it's good to have guns in school, and this brings up the debate. First of all, it brings up the whole debate about guns in general. Gun control, oh, we need tougher gun control laws and stuff like that. Well, Let's look at some of this, okay? First of all, it was a 15-year-old. 15-year-olds cannot go in and buy guns on their own, okay? Now, something to consider here is that it is not necessarily against the law for a 15-year-old to have a gun. They can have a gun that their parents let them use. They can't buy a gun. Now, they can't buy one until they're 18 themselves. When they're 18, they can go and buy a long gun, like a rifle or a shotgun. And then when they're 21, they can buy a pistol. Now, in Michigan, you have to register that pistol as well. So, and we're one of only 8 states that require you to register pistols. Whereas other states, Indiana, Ohio, other ones like that, if you can buy a firearm, you can buy a long gun, or, you know, a shotgun, a rifle, or a pistol, and you just buy it. Okay, you don't have to register it with the state, which Michigan still does. Okay, so the gun ownership was the father's. And that was evidenced, actually. I get a kick. They said James Crumbly called 911 to say that his gun was missing from their home and that Ethan might be the shooter. The gun had been kept in an unlocked drawer in the parents' bedroom. Now, how often do I tell you, and obviously they're not practicing good gun safety, because first of all, you don't put it in an unlocked drawer in a bedroom next to the bed or something, because that's the first place the bad guys look to steal it. And if your child or children or visitor to the home is looking for a gun, that's where they're going to look. You have a responsibility, Mr. James Crumbly, to protect that the kids themselves and visitors and stuff from the access to those guns. So it should have been locked up. Or, you know, whether it's a safe, whether it's got a trigger guard on it, anything like that, that he should have been doing that. The mother, she actually texted her son and said, don't do it. So they had an idea that he was going to, you know, the whole thing just reeks of lost opportunities to prevent it. And isn't it so true that when, with social media and stuff, when people dissect these incidents that take place, that, he was a quiet man, or he was a quiet boy. He was a good boy, but quiet. He kept to himself. Not this guy. He had on social media what he was going to do. He had pictures that he had drawn of a gun and help me. On it, there's a whole list of red flags here. Okay, now the red flag, this isn't a red flag like the red flag law, but there was in this case the fact that the parents or the teachers, and on two occasions, had he was looking for ammunition. Well, by the way, you know what? During class, he was going through his phone looking for ammunition. His mother actually texted him and said, "You got to learn how not to get caught." There was a very permissive attitude in that home, okay? And the fact that the father did not responsibly lock up that gun with a kid, especially after they found, you know, knew that he was having issues. Now, by the way, those issues don't happen overnight, okay? The kid, there were signs. Okay. And by the way, how did so many kids not go into school that day? Because they had a feeling something was going to happen. Somebody heard something from somebody that it was going to happen. Okay. Now, I got to say, when I was 15, I had guns. I shot guns. I shot rifles and shotguns. I shot handguns. And you know what? I didn't even think about going to school and shooting up a school. Matter of fact, as I recall, I think I took a rifle into school to shop class to refinish the wood stock. Holy cow! How can and you didn't shoot up the school? No, it has a lot to do with mental capabilities and mental attitudes. And something is wrong. Something is wrong these days that these kids think that they can do that, and it's glorified by it. These kids get, you know, his 48, 72 hours of fame, 720 hours of fame if it keeps going on for 10 months. I want to say it's just ridiculous. Now, before any of this happened, I had started my show prep and stuff, and I had Gun Boom. FBI ran 187,585 background checks on Black Friday alone. That was actually excellent. That was outstanding, the number of Black Friday sales, and still is. Okay, this is not our fault as gun owners. This is the parents' fault. This is the school's fault. The school should have been notifying the law enforcement a little more heavily when they had the evidence that they had. So I want to say it took what was, you know, would have been 4 days earlier, a decent Black Friday sales. On that Friday, 187,585 sales. Now, that is, it surpassed those of 2020, so which was 186,000, so an extra 1,000, 950 more in 2021 than in 2020. So we continue to have strong sales. People are buying guns for self-protection. They're buying guns for sporting purposes and things like that. That's all good stuff. But you have to remember that along with that goes, and why, by the way, the kid showed on social media a picture of him holding it going, "Hey, I just got my new baby." Okay, so the parents must have indicated this was for him or something, or he was just bragging. But that was on social media. People need to understand what's going on with their kids. Okay? And that's how people then, you know, decide not to go to school and stuff like that. Okay, so let's see. They were a total, except, let's see, what have we got for the year? Oh, I don't know. There were 2,000, this is the last month we have numbers. There were 2,626,389 NICS checks in September. 2,600,000. That was second only to September of 2020, which was 2,800,000. It's pretty amazing that the gun market and people aren't buying it. You know, you immediately get this bit where people are out, "Oh, we need more gun control and the Second Amendment needs to be revised and all this stuff." Well, you know what? In September alone, 2,600,000 people disagree with you. Okay? The people are speaking, and they don't like what's going on. Let's see. Here's the other baby elephant in the room. Did anybody see? I only saw an excerpt. I wouldn't watch the whole thing with George Stephanopoulos. What a bunch of crap. But Alec Baldwin denies pulling the fatal the trigger in the fatal shooting. He denies pulling the trigger. Okay? Well, I'll tell you what. The gun didn't just think about it itself and decide to pull itself. Okay? Matter of fact, I brought in a single action gun, this happens to be a Ruger, but a single action just the same, just like he was using. Okay? And let me see if you can listen. Let me go. Did you hear that? Okay. That is the sound of cocking the trigger. Click, 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 click. Okay. And this is the sound of pulling the trigger. Okay? It doesn't happen by itself. Now, I'm going to leave this gun here on the desk the entire show. And I'm going to watch it very carefully. Matter of fact, I'm going to put my other gun on the desk, too. Now, that one's sitting there. That's my Springfield XDS. It's sitting on there. And I got to watch them very carefully and see if they cock themselves or if they shoot themselves, okay? Because guns don't do that, okay? Alec Baldwin, no matter how much you think you didn't pull the trigger, and they got like a producer that goes, "Oh, he didn't pull it. I saw he had his finger next to it." Well, he did something, okay? So, at any rate, saying you didn't pull the trigger may be good from a legal standpoint, but somebody can look at that gun. The gun, I'm sure, is impounded. The gun can be functioned, and they'll know whether or not it had any faults with it. This is Dick Koepke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Wham Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Koepke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back. And as I suggested that Ed from Ypsilanti calls often, he is calling on this subject here. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Dick. Hey, so, the thing with Baldwin is not like I watch, you know, anything but Fox, frankly. I think somebody on Fox showed the part of the interview with Stephanopoulos, and Baldwin described pulling the hammer back with his finger off the trigger. And, you know, when you don't have a trigger block on a more modern revolver, I think those what started in the 60s or late 50s, and this was supposed to be a period piece. So if it was a single action six, then he could pull that hammer back. He described it on air.
Well,
pulling the hammer back and releasing it.
I'll tell you what, that's like, and there is a part of this article. It says the Santa Fe County Sheriff, Adam Mendoza, identified the gun in the shooting as a modern Pieta replica of a single-action Army revolver. Okay? Those guns could be purchased with a transfer bar that makes it impossible for the firing pin to strike the primer unless the trigger is pulled or without one. But that trigger block or trigger, you're talking a transfer bar. The transfer,
right, that's what I meant to say, yeah.
The transfer bar is a piece that comes up when you pull the trigger, and it fills a gap between the hammer and the firing pin so that it can strike the primer of the gun, or of the, the cartridge.
Transfer the kinetic energy of the hammer to the firing pin.
That's right.
To the primer.
Having a, not having a transfer bar makes it more susceptible if you drop it or something for the hammer to just push the firing pin into the cartridge. But with or without a transfer bar, that hammer, in order to drop, still has to have the trigger pulled.
Oh, no. No, I'm sorry. I wasn't clear. If he pulled it back far enough not to engage the trigger, it's conceivable to me that it could go forward. In other words, I think you can pull the hammer back and it will come. In fact, he described it.
Yeah.
That he was pulling the hammer back and it went forward. And I think he said he did that a couple of times and then it went off.
Yeah.
Like my wife said, his defense is, I didn't have my finger on the trigger. You're never supposed to have your finger on the trigger when you're pointing the gun at someone. Well, no, you're never supposed to point the gun at somebody unless you intend to kill them. Unless, of course, you're an actor.
If you pull the hammer back, by the way, even the oldest one has a haft cock position. Okay?
Huh. And now so, I got to get out my old single six.
Yeah, and it's got a haft cocked position where that's when you can spin the cylinder then for loading. You know how it's got a loading gate on the right hand side that
yeah.
opens up? You
yeah.
pull the hammer back to half cocked and then you're able to turn the cylinder freely. So if he only pulled it, I want to say, imagine this, if he only pulled it back even less than the half cocked position and let it go, then it wouldn't have been able to rotate the cylinder. So if he did it several times, it would not have rotated the cylinder into position to fire.
Well, given there might have been that live cartridge underneath, which is why they didn't used to carry but five cartridges in a six,
that's right.
In a six shooter.
You know what they did? I remember this always. They would roll up a $20 bill and put it in there in the six shooter in the sixth chamber. They called it their burying money. And that was so that if they were killed in a gunfight, they would always have money for them to be buried. So they called that their burying money. So I think his story has a lot of holes in it, but I think he's trying to rationalize his way out of it. Even if, and you talked before about, here's the issue too. I'm going to cock my single my action again. Can you hear the clicks on that through the radio?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. Okay, now I'm going to do something. I'm going to hold the trigger down, and I'm going to Fannin. Now, everybody who is older than 60 remembers the old Westerns when the guys used to fan their revolvers, remember?
Yeah, Paladin.
Yeah, and they'd fan the revolver. But do you know what they had to do to be able to fan the revolver? You had to hold the trigger back. So I want to say the fact that they've got the gun, they'll be able. Now, I'm not saying, let me say this. If they take the gun apart and they find a broken spring on the sear, or a broken sear, or a worn sear, or something like that that could have caused it to release, then that's a different story. Because guns are mechanical things, and they can have a problem. Okay, but the fact that this was a modern Pieta knockoff, it's a replica, and those are high quality. You can buy them at Cabela's and other places. You know what? You've seen them, haven't you?
Yeah. I've had an Uberti myself. I know what you mean.
Yeah. And so, chances are it's got good metallurgy. It probably didn't have a problem. But if it did have a problem, they'll be able to figure that out. So he can say anything.
Well, that's the first I heard that it was a Pieta. I had originally heard when it first happened that they said that it was a period piece, and it gave me the impression that this was an authentic, actual single six and not a modern replica.
Well, you know, those single action armies are worth $5,000 to $10,000 or more. They wouldn't be using them in a in a movie, okay?
Yeah.
So anyway,
okay, well,
by the way, did you see? I got a kick, and there was an article. Was it just from yesterday? Where Dukes of Hazzard star John Schneider calls BS on Alec Baldwin's teary ABC interview. By the way, the whole interview's taken a whole bunch of crap because of it, because it's like a tug at your heart piece. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Feel sorry for Alec.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's got bags under his eyes, and he's weeping, and he's wiping the tears from his eyes. You know what? This is the same Alec Baldwin who screams and yells at his 13-year-old daughter and has no room for the Second Amendment whatsoever, so far as we know. He may have guns himself, but you'd never know that, okay? But, man, he is anti-Second Amendment otherwise. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's these guys like Liam Neeson, you know what I mean? I'm anti-gun. I make my living playing a gun user, you know?
Yeah.
A proficient gunner.
Yeah. And I want to say good for John Schneider. By the way, I just watched a movie with him. I got to say, now, my wife makes so much fun of me because of this, but I enjoy Hallmark Christmas movies.
Oh, no. Oh, you and Rick, Pastor Rick. He was sick home with COVID. That's all he did was watch Hallmark. It turned his brain to mush. You can't even talk to the guy. Oh, sorry, I was talking to you.
Well, my wife always says, you know, like, I can tell 3 minutes into the show exactly what's going to happen and who's going to be with her. You know what I mean?
Like,
and there'll always be that. There's always the misunderstanding that that then they get upset and then they get back together again, and it's always so. I like those movies, but John Schneider did one with Reba McEntire just the other day, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, now that might be watchable, just to watch them.
Yeah, it was funny, and it was a good Christmas show, and it was with Reba McEntire and John Schneider. So I highly recommend, not that it's War and Peace or something like that, but it's but it was watchable.
I'm thinking, what's a good Christmas movie with guns? And I'm thinking, well, there's Die Hard. You know, it's trying to keep on topic here. I'm sure Joe Leonard, if he's listening, he'll come up with a couple.
Do you know?
He fancies himself a movie critic.
I have to go back and watch that again, because that always comes up. I mean, like, I want to say there's the terrible scene in It's a Wonderful Life. Which one was the cop, Bert or Ernie?
Bert.
Yeah, I think it was Bert was the cop. Anyway, where Jimmy Stewart's running down the road.
Yeah, because it's Bert. You know me.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
The cop. Bert's the cop.
Yeah, and he pulls his revolver out and he shoots him as he shoots to him as he's running down the street with cars and people out with shopping and stuff like that. And it's like, holy cow, you know. But nobody ever mentions that. So, but I gotta say, I have not watched the original Die Hard in probably decades. Okay, so when people say it's a Christmas movie, I remember it taking place at that time, but I don't recall it being a Christmas movie. Is that true?
Well, it opens up. He's going to the party of his estranged wife, who's out on the other side of the continent. She's in L.A. and she works for Nakatomi, and she's a big shot there now. And there's a Christmas party. And he's been invited to the Christmas party. And so the whole thing is centered around this office building where the Christmas party is taking place on the upper levels.
Okay.
And, of course, the quote-unquote terrorists, who are really gangsters, you know, so they work for the banks. Anyways, they come in and they try and they act like they're gonna, you know, holding everybody hostage, but what they really want is, oh, I don't want to give it away if somebody else has a theater.
Yeah, no. Okay, yeah. I do recall that, but I say that's a stretch to call that a Christmas movie, just because it was good for the plot to have a party there, but it's not like It's a Wonderful Life or
a Miracle. I think the really best part is where he takes out one of the terrorists. He sends the body down on a chair on an elevator and puts a sign on him that says, ho, 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 now I have a machine gun or something like that.
Okay. I'll give it to you then. Okay. Thanks, Ed. Thanks for calling right, today. I'll be listening to your show. Yep. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
I want to say now, like, if remember the scene in Miracle on 34th Street where they have the Christmas morning party and the tree, and there's things under the tree, and Natalie Woods, you know, I didn't find anything that, you know, because he got the doctor radiology scope and stuff like that. And Natalie Woods, you know, remember she was riding in the car. I believe it's silly, but I believe. Well, I think it would have been funny if, you know, Harold was the guy that played Santa Claus. Like if he had had a Thompson underneath the Christmas tree, that would have been good. Okay. But at any rate, let's see. Now, here's another story. The Nevada Supreme Court rules that gun makers aren't responsible for Las Vegas. Well, hallelujah. Okay. It's a moron that pulled the trigger. Okay. And by the way, there's more about that. We sure lost that story pretty quick. You know, they talked about, other than being able to try to blame it on getting rid of bump stocks and trying to blame it on the gun makers, that story went away pretty fast. How come there's a lot we didn't know about that? Okay. Let's see. Now, here's an interesting story, and I would like to just talk about guns a little bit. The single action is not doing anything. It hasn't pulled its own trigger, and neither has the semi-automatic that's sitting there. So I'm in this, it's been, 47 minutes or 41 minutes we've been on the air. They have not done anything. So, okay. Let's see. Study blames pediatric lead levels on gun ownership. What? Well, it found that homes that have guns in them, very interesting when you read about this, it finds that homes that have guns in them, the children, some of them had elevated levels of lead. So I want to say, parents, would you stop giving your kids bullets to teeth on, okay? Yeah, I know, it's like in the movies, you know, when a guy bites a bullet, you know, when he's, they're trying to amputate his leg with no Novocaine and they get, or no anesthesia, and they give him a bullet to bite on. Stop doing that with your kids, okay? Because apparently the kids have elevated levels of lead. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with the fact that it could be that in good old conservative America, a lot of people live in older homes, and maybe they have lead paint. Maybe they live in areas that have lead pipes like Flint or the other side of the state and stuff like that. Who knows? But to blame the gun owner and the bullets that are, by the way, what if the bullets are Full Metal Jacket? There's no exposed lead on them. I got to say, I have a lot of bullets that are solid copper bullets, jacketed hollow point ones that are solid copper. I have, you know, steel, what do you call it, steel projectiles that are copper washed and stuff like that. No lead showing whatsoever, okay? So how would that elevated levels be? You know, I don't know. But, boy, that just shows an example of, is that actually a study that shows the elevated levels of blood or of lead in the blood of children? That's finding a problem and trying to find somebody to pin it on, as opposed to a problem that then has an outcome to it. So at any rate, let's see. What was I going to talk about next? There's just so much that we could talk about. Let's see. I get tired of the politics. I'm going to have to see if we can dedicate much of the show, the second half of the show, to talking about guns, okay? I could tell you a story this week. I was at the range yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. And it was nice because it was trying to gently snow a little bit. It was quiet. I was the only one there with my son. And it's an interesting story. I'm going to tell you at my son's expense, okay? And this is, he's not listening. He's got little ones to take care of, so I can tell this story. He sent me a text this week and said, "Dad, can we go to the range later this week?" And I said, "Sure." And, so I actually said, "You know, I was thinking about coming out on Thursday to your place and bring the muzzle loader out, because I had thought that we were going to have the muzzle loader, you know, for him to use during muzzle loader season." But of course, the laws this year, the regulations changed it so that the muzzle loaders are not necessary during the muzzle loader season in Area 3, which is where we're at. So Zone 3. So you can still use your straight wall pistol cartridges. So he brought out his, actually it's mine, but it's his now. I gave it to him. A 44 Magnum rifle, which is a Ruger M77 with a decent, it's sweet too. It's got camo stock and it's got stainless and it's got a camo scope on it and stuff like that. And so at any rate, what happened is he came on out and he goes, "Yeah, I haven't shot in a while and I just want to make sure that I'm doing everything right." I thought, okay, well, that's a good, smart thing to do, because he shot once last season, I thought. So he was just wanting to get used to it again. I said, "Oh, that's good." So he came out, and I found out the true story was that Monday evening he had two does walk out by his blind, and he shot and he missed. He missed low. And so I think what he ended up doing was that the adrenaline was rushing and he jerked the trigger, or he pushed into it. I'll finish this story in a bit. We have got Eric from Milford. Hi, Eric. How are you?
How you doing, Dick?
I'm doing fine.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had an experience crowding 50 years ago with a Ruger single six 22.
Okay.
And my buddy and I were out at a gravel pit, and like you said, the cowboys and Indians and fanning the things. And I fanned mine, and all of a sudden my buddy was jumping up and down, and it didn't line up, and it shaved a piece of lead off one side. And it hit him in his junk.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it was not a good thing.
Well, that is, you know, and that is important on a revolver. The timing of the cylinder is very critical, right? So that it lines
exactly up.
And so if you were fanning it, maybe you did not turn it quite enough and it shaved it. And I got to say, that's how you can also tell. So for the uninformed out there who don't shoot revolvers, the cylinder actually has a little gap between it and what's called the forcing cone, which is the like a tapered area by the barrel where it so if there's a minor misalignment, it should line up and feed the projectile into the muzzle. or into the chamber, or I'm sorry, into the barrel. And so what happens is you can get some gas and particles and things like that. But if you have a misalignment of that cylinder, it can actually peel off a little bit of lead or copper jacket or something like that, and boom, it'll go sideways. And yeah, that's why you don't keep your fingers in line with the cylinder gap, right?
Oh, absolutely. That was a tough lesson, and it was tougher on my buddy and not as bad on me. But
I'm sure you felt really bad, but here you are 50 years later still talking about it. So,
There you go. Well, at least I can tell you that was the one and only time I ever fanned that weapon.
I can honestly say I may have tried that once when I was a kid, but it's certainly not as easy as they showed in the movies, is it?
Oh, no. No,
Not to mention the accuracy of that. I always marveled at the guys that could, shoot from the hip and put a hole in the center of a dime or something like that. I need a little more alignment than that, so...
Thank you, Dick. Good to talk to you.
Oh, nice talking to you. Thanks for calling today. Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. Can you imagine that? That would be like a little shaving of lead or copper in your junk, so to speak. You'd have to start wearing a cup when you went shooting. You know. Oh gosh. So. Where was I? Let's see. Oh, I was talking about my son Ben, and he had been shooting, and apparently he missed this doe just under. He saw it go underneath. He could see. So he just missed, the lower body, and he could see where it hit the dirt. And he was so upset. And I know my son, and he probably was just so frustrated and stuff like that. So that's why he wanted to go to the range. Well, we went to the range, and he did outstanding. The gun was sighted in perfect at 25 and 50 yards, and he shot it from the bench. But we also had him shoot it with holding it on the forestock and stuff because, you're not – there's a big difference between when you hold a long gun on the bench, you have the forestock – resting on a sandbag, and you have if you're right-handed, you have your right arm around and on the trigger, and your left arm is cradling the stock. Now, I'm doing this here, but you can't see it, okay? Derek can see it through the glass, but you can't see it. So your left hand is underneath the stock cradling it, and that's how you adjust it up or down to and sideways to be able to hit the target. Well, that's great, but that's not a position that you can use when you're hunting. So what he was able to do is first he did that. He knew he could handle the trigger control and stuff. And then we shot then we shot it with him cradling it with his hand so that he's got more variability in it and stuff. And he did very well, so he was fine. So now he's got confidence back, and he's going to go back and try it again. I'm glad because he's got a whole month left, or almost a month now, to be able to continue hunting. We also had fun with a new thing that I've got. And I'm in the process of getting it from a friend, and it is a Beretta CX4 Storm. It's a pistol caliber carbine. It has magazines that load through the stock, or through the grip. It is a, like I said, a pistol caliber carbine. This one's in 40 cal, okay, 40 Smith & Wesson. We went through almost 100 rounds on that yesterday, too. And it was a blast. So I'm getting the fun of the pistol caliber carbines, and I'm looking forward to using it next year on bowling pin matches and things like that. What a fun gun. If you've got any experience with a CX-4, give me a call and tell me about it. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
And welcome back to the second hour of Trigger Talk Radio. And for those of you who may not have heard that that we are now a two-hour show again, I am on until 1 o'clock. So I'm on from 11 to 1 every Saturday. And next Saturday, we're going to be out at the Walmart in Saline at the south entrance. And Theron and I will be out there having a remote broadcast, and we will be gathering toys for the 1600 toys for 1600 girls and boys. We'll have a blast, and I would encourage you all to come on out and say hi. And what happens is typically they'll be, oh gosh, usually there's somebody there from the Salvation Army, and we talk to them and we interview some people, and sometimes people show up that are longtime listeners of the show. We have a lot of fun, and actually sometimes people show up not just because it's Trigger Talk Radio, but because Theron's going to be there. And typically during the show, he's standing there talking to people, yakking. So so you'll be able to see Theron and see me, and we'll get to talk and talk guns and have a lot of fun. So and the whole point is we do it as a remote to highlight the 1600 toys for 1600 girls and boys, which is the charity that we do here. And it always is so much fun. Just so you know, the Salvation Army, what they do is they collect these. These are unwrapped toys. So, you know, new in a box, unwrapped toys, unopened toys. And so what happens is they take them to a big warehouse kind of place. Like, I don't know if it's the one where they do where the school is, where their main office is, or exactly where they do it. But the parents of the young kids who otherwise may not have any toys for Christmas, and you know, I mean, many of these people, I want to say my wife and I do some things with Hope Clinic, and we deliver food, and actually so many of these people would not even have much of a Christmas whatsoever. Their money goes towards their rent. Their money goes towards what food they can afford, and there would not be toys for the kids, okay? So what they do is they come, and they may come and say, well, I have a 7-year-old boy and a 9-year-old girl, and I'd like to shop for them. And so they go, and they actually can see the toys. It's not just what somebody, oh, okay, well, here, we're going to give this boy a puzzle or this kid a top or something like that. You know, who plays with tops anymore? But the thing is that they can go and they can look and they can see, oh, yeah, that's a neat truck. He loves dump trucks. So, you know, or a front loader or an excavator or something. And the little girl wants a you know, whether it is some clothes or maybe they like trucks and dump trucks and excavators or airplanes or something, but it's what the child would actually want to play with. So it's a fun thing, and so I hope you'll participate next week and come and see us. That's at the Saline Walmart, which is on the corner of Michigan Avenue and Moon Road, just east, about 2.5 miles east of Saline, crossed from Briarwood Ford and, oh gosh, what's the name? There's a Chevy dealership there too. I know the Ford dealership because I used to work at Ford, but Crispin, Bill Crispin Chevrolet is across from them too. So, so at any rate, let's talk a little bit. Oh, I was talking, first of all, I would like to hear from anybody who knows what is and has shot and enjoys a Beretta CX4 Storm. This one is one that is in 40 cal, but they make them in 9mm too. And they are very popular in terms of these pistol caliber carbines. They're an all polymer one. They actually look like something from Star Wars or what is it called? Starship Troopers, I think, is that one that was where they were battling like the big spiders or something like that. But it's got a futuristic looking stock. Now, in general, when I'm looking for a gun, I'm not looking for something that's futuristic, except, well, maybe that Kel-Tec P-50 would be cool. That's kind of futuristic looking. And I do have a Whammo 22 that looks like a laser gun, a ray gun. This kind of looks like that. So look it up if you're listening on the computer, or if you're just needing to kill time while you're listening on the radio, look up the Beretta, B-E-R-R-E-T-A, CX-4 Storm. And you'll see it's a cool-looking gun. And maybe a little, stylistic for some people. I'm typically a more traditional guy, but I think this looks like fun. So we were at the range shooting it, and I think I'm going to acquire that from my friend. And unfortunately, I have to return some of the furniture that's on it that are accoutrements that are on it. He has a really cool Streamlight flashlight mounted with a pressure pad on it on one of the side quad rails, and it's got a aim point, an original aim point, the military SWAT style aim point red dot on it that is so cool. I had to sight that in for him because he had put it on, and he may have used a laser pointer or one of the laser bore sighters to do it. He had it pretty close. It was probably about 12 to 18 inches low and to the right, but I was able to tweak it up and get it so it was shooting right on the money at 25 yards, which is about what you want to do with those. And so if you've got any experience with a Beretta CX-4, I'd like to hear about it. Let's see. And before I get into some other things like the top 10 concealed carry mistakes, top 7 concealed carry mistakes, I find these lists, and it's interesting, you find them on the internet, and they are from gun magazines or gun writers and stuff, and they'll have the top 7 concealed carry mistakes to avoid like the plague. Okay, well, that's in this guy's opinion, just like it's in my opinion, I suppose. You gotta, you may or may not agree with what I say. You may have some experience that is contrary to something I've said. I'd like to hear about that. Okay. Because, the internet, just because it's on the computer doesn't mean it's true, okay? But at any rate, I see the phone's ringing. Uh-oh, somebody's going to be contrary to me here. Let's see. So I was going to talk about gifts, okay? And what happens is with the gifts, there's gifts that you want, gifts that you would like people to give to you, and sometimes there's the idea of buying gifts for, in the terms of firearms. We got Theron on the phone. Hi, Theron. How are you today?
Yo, dude. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, the reason I was calling is I was playing with a top. I couldn't believe you said, who plays with tops still? When I was a little kid, so I learned about centrifugal force.
That's true.
That and spinning my little sister around the room. Well, and letting her go. But the reason I called is I just finished a piece in, reading a piece in Concealed Carry Magazine, which was put out by the USCCA folks.
Right.
And one of the lead articles in the latest issue is you should know what your attorney's going to do before you need him. And I want to tell everybody to call whoever their Second Amendment attorney is in the event they need one for self-defense. And if you don't have one lined up, what the hell do you think? And you've got to get one lined up. And just have a pleasant conversation with them about if I have to employ lethal force to protect myself, somebody's trying to kill me, what are you going to do? Are you going to be there at 3 in the morning when I call you? If not, who are you going to send? Things like that.
Yeah. Yep.
And people in Washtenaw County should know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, we have a George Soros prosecutor, and that's not hyperbole. And anybody in Washtenaw County that has to shoot anybody for any reason, no matter how clear-cut a case it is, that you did the right thing, you're going to jail. They're not going to let you stay home. They're not going to let you keep your gun. You're going to jail. And then you're going to have to sort it out there with your attorney. you may prevail. Chances are you'll prevail if you do the right thing. But in Washtenaw County, it's the worst county in the state of Michigan. That's no lie. So you got to get your attorney on the phone, have a conversation with them about what if, and there you go.
Yeah, I want to say, and you know, the whole thing about I watched when the thing took place up at Oxford High School, and the kid immediately, you know, wouldn't cooperate and lawyered up, and the parents lawyered up, and all that kind of stuff. But that was not a good shoot. So that's a different situation. You're talking about a self-defense shoot in the home, or you know, at the gas station because the guy's holding you up with a gun or something like that. And
yes, I'm talking about if somebody comes at you and tries to kill you and you have to defend yourself,
yep,
you are going to need an attorney.
Yep.
And you're also going to need to know that if you're in Washtenaw County, you're going to jail while they sort it out. So
yep.
You're going to be Florida.
Yep, I'm sure that's true. And I want to say I actually have – there's some interesting things. I have a card that I carry, and it's from an attorney that I use, and I've talked about him before. But actually, you just brought that up, and actually he is ill right now and having some surgery and stuff. So I've got to make sure I have a backup plan just in case.
Well, that's right, and you want to know if your attorney – and they take vacations too. Let's say you're – attorneys in Vegas for 2 weeks, heaven forbid, you've got to defend yourself even in your home, you call him, who's he going to get to come see you? Because I'm telling you, you're going to jail. The only county you might not go to jail in, and we're talking self-defense shootings, we're not talking insanity where you've done something stupid, but maybe Livingston County, maybe
yep.
Oakland. I don't know what goes on up north, but Washington is screwed, 100%.
Yep, I agree. And that's... very true. I want to say there's a couple of things like this is I'll just read to you off the card just a handful of things. It says if you have a self-defense shooting and the law enforcement come, it says say only I will fully cooperate after I have talked with my attorney.
Right.
Now, that may sound like you're lawyering up, but the point is that that's the same thing that cops do.
You say nothing.
Yeah.
You say that. That's exactly right. And you want to make sure the first thing you do is you call your attorney, or you call 911, and you immediately call your attorney. You say nothing to 911 other
right.
than, I've been involved in an incident, I need a police and ambulance, please.
Yeah.
And then that's all you say. Or you say somebody tried to kill me, and that should be on the back of your card too.
Right.
Whatever
it
but,
is,
you know,
it
you
says
don't volunteer anything. And by the way, when you call 911, as soon as you hit that last one, it's recording.
Yep,
it's recording. So if they got you on hold for 20 seconds or a minute before you get it, they're recording everything you say.
Well, that's
or do.
We always tell people that you pick up the phone, you dial 911, and if you need to hide or get behind cover or something like that, you set the phone down on the bed. You don't shut it off. You set it down on the bed, and you let it record.
Because that's a good idea, but if you, heaven forbid, you have to call 911, I would say, someone tried to kill me, I had to defend myself, please send a police and an ambulance.
Yep.
Hang up.
Yep. Well,
yeah. They know where you are.
Yeah. Then here's they say, you say only this, they attacked me and I thought they were going to kill me. You will say,
yeah, I've been attacked and they tried to kill me.
Yep.
And
I will sign a complaint. You will point out any evidence and you point out any witnesses and that's it until you've talked to the attorney.
Yeah. And you want your attorney on the phone fast.
Yep. And that's where I like with my attorney. They have it set with 24-hour call center, and when you call that number, it's 3 in the morning, they will get a hold of him.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and that they'll know where he's at. If he's in Vegas, they'll call him. But you will have immediate access. Very good point. Thank you, Zayron.
That's what USCCA does as well.
Yeah.
So that's who I'm with. They're outstanding.
Yep.
But people, you got to hear this. You have to have an attorney that you already know about, not looking for one at the moment of the incident. You've got to have one. You've got to have a conversation with them. That's generally just over the phone. They're not going to charge you for it.
Yep.
And there you go.
Yep. Well, thank you for that good advice. And I'm sure that, again, that's the same advice that they tell the officers that they should not be making
yes.
statements and things like that until they have their attorney and their counsel. So
absolutely.
Very good. Well, thank you. Hey, I look forward next week. We're going to be together during this time frame out at Walmart, right?
We're going to be hanging. hanging out at Walmart again. I love it.
Yep.
We couldn't do it last year because of the Chinese murder virus bioweapon they foisted on us. But yep. This year we're going to be there.
Yep, we are. We're going to have a lot of fun.
And you pointed out something crucially important. These toys are for little kids that wouldn't get toys if it wasn't for this toy drive.
Yeah.
People have come to Wham, I'm dead serious, with tears in their eyes, thanking Linda for doing this and the whole the Christmas tree thing at the time, too. But I would have never, my kids wouldn't have had toys if you hadn't have done this. And so this really, really is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it is. And so we look forward to seeing everybody next week out there at Walmart in Saline from 11 to 1.
Okay? See you there.
Yep, see you there. Thanks, Theron. Thanks for listening. We have got John from Saline about a Beretta 45 ACP. Hi, John.
Hi, Dick. How are you today?
I'm fine. What's up?
Fantastic. Hey, I wanted to tell you, I have that same Beretta, but it's in a 45, and it is just fabulous to shoot. I mean, you can hit cans at 80 yards all day long with it.
They make it in 9, 40, and 45, right?
Yep, they do. And I happened to run across it at Johnson's years ago, and I snagged it. It's neat.
I know. When you see it, it does look a little bizarre, doesn't it?
It does. It is kind of Star Wars-y, and you kind of take a step back. But once you put it in your hands, it's so ergonomically correct. Your hands go in the right place.
It's got decent sights. Do you have an optic mounted on it?
I do. I put a small red dot that coexists with the pin. So
see, that's what I'm thinking of doing, too. So, because I shot this one with an aim point on it, and I thought, holy cow, that's nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. I like it a lot. Well, and then, if your little quarter-size battery dies, I still have my irons to use. So.
Well, yeah, because you can see them. If you have it co-pointing with the sights, you can see them right through it. Otherwise, you can most of those have a quick disconnect. You can take them off. So.
Yeah, well, they'll flip down right out of the way, too.
Oh, so, okay, good.
The iron, so that's nice, too.
Well, you super.
Pop the rear sight flat.
Well, where do you shoot, out at Tri-County?
No, actually, I'm right in Saline. We shoot right here at my house. I got a range. And
oh, okay.
We actually have like a club-style trap thrower, too. So.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, I've got a 9 and 12-year-old, and they're both on the Saline trap team, so I'm actually coaching with them now in the middle school, but we got a lot of kids out there. It's a lot of fun.
We were really proud of that, and actually we're still working on some things to try to get you guys back, but we'd
love it. I'll tell you what, it's a challenge. We're going all the way out to Dundee, and it's a great club.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice to
be in your own backyard again. Yeah. So we're working on that. So I've got some ideas, and so we're trying to figure out if we can make that work. But we were really proud of the fact that Saline ended up with a trap team, and it's so popular with the kids.
Well, we have, I think there was 28 middle schoolers out there. I mean, there's at least 50 kids, I think, between high school and middle school.
That's a lot of kids, and that's the future of our sport right there.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun, though.
Well, good.
I wouldn't miss it for the world now. And it's fun watching, a kid that hits 2 out of 25 at the beginning hit 19 at the end.
I know.
Fabulous.
And I want to say, I have still not ever got the elusive 25. I've gotten 23.
Yeah.
And then I get down to the last two and I choke. So.
I'm not going to brag, but my 12-year-old hit his first 25 out of 25.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
Something to be proud of.
Yep, definitely is, but that's what practice gets you, So.
Yep. Well, thanks for calling, John, and thank you for listening.
Thanks for the time, and thanks for your efforts on helping us with a spot, too. That'd be amazing if it could happen. So.
Okay, talk to you later.
Okay, thanks.
Yep, bye-bye. That was fun. And by the way, he has a Beretta Storm. So see, now that's the second person I've ever talked to. So I'm sure there's somebody else out there that's got a Beretta Storm. I think it would be cool in 45 ACP. This one that I'm getting is in 40, and the 9mm would be fun to. Well, maybe it would be good to have all three. I don't know. Maybe that's overkill. I don't know. So I was talking about gifts. And we're going to get into over the next next couple of weeks, we'll get into a list of things that you might want. There are some things that you don't want other people to buy for you. You don't want them to buy you something that, it, like a grip for your gun. That you don't want them to buy you a necessarily a sling, because those are all personal things that, that you want it to. You want the gun to hang the way you want it to. If you got it on a single point sling, like on an AR or something, ammunition is something that only target ammo would be okay. If somebody wanted to go and buy you a case of 9mm or something like that, that'd be okay. If you're not a hand loader, that would be okay. But when it comes to the self-defense ammo, you want to make sure that that it is something that functions properly in the gun and everything, and is effective, because not all. If you go back and look at on my website, which is TriggerTalkRadio.com, and look on the right, it'll say ballistic tests, and you'll see ballistic testing of 380s and 9mm and 40 and 45 and 22 and 22 Magnum, all of these things. A bullet is not a bullet. A jacketed hollow point is not the same as all other jacketed hollow points. They perform differently. So that's kind of a personal thing. But things like cleaning supplies, if the person shoots long guns, a Tipton Best Gun Vise. There's different ones out there. And I will put this up on the website again, probably after next week, where I will actually show pictures of things and relative cost and stuff like that. But I want to talk about the idea of gifting something. And this is if you want to gift somebody a gun. Now, this guy up in Oxford bought a handgun, but obviously his 15-year-old son, he may be shooting it, but he may not own or not have it registered to him in Michigan, okay? So it was the father's gun. But let's say you're buying a 14 or 15-year-old a shotgun or a rifle to go deer hunting with you or something. And this is a story that actually happened from a matter of fact, I'll save this for the next segment, because we've got a phone call. Jim from Livonia about a Ruger LCP. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, it's Tim. How you doing?
Hi. What's up?
I have a Ruger LCP I just got, and I also have LCP Max. And what I was thinking about, trading the LCP for LCP 2 and 22. What's your thoughts on that?
Now, so you have an LCP Max in 380 also?
Yeah.
So that's the one you're going to carry probably, because it's got the greater capacity?
Yeah, nice little gun. It fits in the hand nice and everything. I love it.
Yeah. And then so now you're thinking about, is it an original LCP or an LCP 2, your other 380?
It's an original LCP. I just got it. I had one that was defective. I sent it back to Ruger, and they gave me a new one.
Oh, okay. Well, the that's the one with the longer trigger pull and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to. Now, what are you wanting to do with the LCP 2 in 22? Just for target shooting or carrying?
Yeah, mainly because I've got like mountains of 22 ammo, and 380 ammo is getting harder to find and expensive.
That's true. I would say that would be now there are other 22s if you're just going to use for target shooting and stuff like that, but the LCP2, I think they call that a light rack in 22, don't they? And the whole idea is that it's easy to rack the slide and stuff like that. I would love one. I do know that some people go, well, I wouldn't want to carry that, you know, as a carry gun, because 22s aren't effective. Well, they're better than nothing, okay? And if you are carrying it as a backup, or if you pick it up and carry it because it's comfortable and lightweight for what you're going to carry it for, I think it's a cool gun. I think I would, and I don't like the original LCP as much because of the long trigger pull.
Yeah. I'm thinking, I know you hear the music, but...
I'm going to have to go. I've only got 10 seconds. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio. We'll be back in a few minutes. If you want to hold on, Jim, I'll get you afterwards.
Wham! Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back, and we were talking to Jim from Livonia. Hi, Jim. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to say, now you got the new LCP Max in 380. You've got a brand new LCP in the box that is like new in the box, right? Because it just got it from Ruger.
Yeah, it's never been fired.
Yeah. And I want to say, chances are, now, if you're going to go out and carry, you are a concealed carry person?
I am going to get one soon.
Okay. So the chances are, if you are going to carry, you're going to carry the LCP Max, right?
Yep.
So why, and it's got the newer, better trigger, like an LCP2 does?
Yeah. It's very nice gun.
So what's going to happen is, this other one is going to sit there, and you're going to go, gosh, I don't like the trigger on that one. Why am I going to keep that one? I don't really want that one. And it's going to sit in your gun safe and collect dust, okay? So you might as well, if you think, do you have any other 22 pistols?
Yeah, I got one of those old Phoenix Arms 22s. That's about the worst trigger pull in the world. But it's a good functioning gun. Other than that, there's one of those.
I think that you would be more than happy with, if you can, now it's probably going to cost you a little more, but if you can sell your 380 LCP at a reasonable price because it's brand new, never been fired, okay, and put that towards an LCP2 light rack, which is the 22 caliber one, you're going to love it. You're going to love it.
Okay.
That's what I would do, because otherwise you're just going to have a safe queen sitting in your gun safe that's collecting dust, and you're going to go, man, I wish I had that little 22.
Yeah, with about the 20 others sitting there collecting dust.
Okay.
Oh, one more quick question. What about when you're carrying a gun for self-defense, should you have one that's been modified, like, say, new trigger or rings or anything?
Well, I want to say, if you have a firearm that has... when you say modified, there are things that people put on, like different sights and stuff like that, that improve it. Sometimes guns now for carrying, they put on the little red dots, the little tiny red dots that they use, you know, for being better sights, especially if you got old eyes, okay?
Yeah.
But when it comes to a trigger, if you stick with factory springs or a factory trigger or something like, there's a difference between putting in a better trigger that is essentially, safe and everything, compared to taking a trigger and filing down the sear or smoothing it with a stone, or you know what I'm saying? There's a difference. And if you did have a defensive use of a firearm, believe me, they will go through the gun. And if you put lightweight springs in it, a hair trigger spring in it and stuff, believe me, the prosecutor, especially, now you're not in Washtenaw County, you're in Wayne County, aren't you?
Yeah.
But the prosecutor will try to do whatever they can to make it look like you're a bad guy. So the closer it is to factory is better. Okay.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering, because they say claim you're not supposed to use reloaded stuff, just all factory ammo on them.
Well, that too, and there's a reason for that. Not necessarily. I carry, all my carry guns have factory ammo in it. Okay, and because if you are carrying a firearm and you have something you loaded up yourself, then they will test it and they'll say, oh, well, Mr. Kupke wasn't satisfied with factory ammunition. He had to make this super deadly, super fast, you know, super killer bullets. You know what I mean? So, again, you're better off with factory ammunition. Also, the fact is that because the factory ammo is part of a lot, then they can check the ballistics and they'll be able to tell, like, calculate your distance and stuff like that away better from the factory ammo than something that you cooked up yourself. Now, you may, because if you're loading 9mm or 380 or 440 S&W yourself, there's any one of 100 different recipes you could use to load that. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Okay, I've got another call. Thanks for the call today. Good questions.
Hey, okay. Foxtrot Juliet Bravo.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Let's see. We have Tom from Detroit on a Springfield pistol. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Dick. You know, I just got the December American Rifleman today, and right on the cover it has a Springfield SA-35 high power.
Yep.
And it sure looks like a Browning high power.
It's exactly like a Browning. Well, with some minor improvements, but it's I've got a friend who's got one. And I haven't shot it yet. He hasn't shot it yet, but he's really excited to shoot it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the it has a manufacturer's suggested retail of $699. I'm thinking there's going to be a line to get these things.
Oh, yes, because people have – that's always been the old 1911 versus the Browning high power question out there, right?
Well, I don't know. I've shot a lot of a high power, and, yeah, they're, you know, it's a good shooting gun.
There's people that make the case that the high power is the 1911 that John Browning wanted to make, but he made it at, you know, I want to say it was the next evolution of a 1911. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that because I don't think you can do any better than a 1911, but
I've never shot a 1911 much, so I wouldn't be the guy to ask about that. It looks like they've improved the magazine. That they're putting 15 rounds in there now, and you know it's a heavy pistol, but it's, you know, it's not really huge.
No.
As far as, you know, compared to like a Beretta 92.
Yeah,
it's smaller in size, but you know probably at least the same weight.
Cause yeah,
it's all steel. At least I believe these Springfields are all steel.
Yeah, they are, and they got nice walnut grips on them, and they're just pretty guns, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, they didn't. I wonder if they can. They didn't put an ambidextrous safety on there. I'm wondering if they're going to have an ambidextrous safety for the lefties.
Yeah, I don't know. That'll be something to find. We'll have to see with the evolution. When they come out with the first one, that's probably the absolutely stock standard one, and then they'll come up with things to you know, modify them, like you said, and nowadays people used to be it's like shut up and shoot right-handed, but nowadays they recognize that there are lefties and there are righties, and it's nice to have ambidextrous controls on them, right?
Yeah, I mean, I used to carry one a little bit. You know, it's kind of heavy to carry, but if I'd carry it in condition one, I could put the safety on, and, you know, it was safe. And just the thumb safety was right there, you know, as soon as I wanted to use it, make it, you know, dangerous.
Yeah,
I could do it real easy, but
well,
like a lefty, they have problems.
Well, I have a Sig Sauer GSR that has ambidextrous safety on it, so that for a left-handed person that they can easily do the thumb safety then.
Yeah. I don't know how this is going to be, but I've got a Mark III, and, I mean, I almost have to use both hands to cock it. The spring in there is people have told me I could put a lighter spring in there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Well, see, and when I carry a 1911, I typically carry it in, I always carry in condition one, but I also, the holster I have it in has a thumb snap with a strap that goes across between the hammer and the firing pin.
Well, you just rely on the grip safety then when you're carrying.
No, I carry it with the hammer cocked and the safety on, but there is a strap that the retention strap for the holster actually goes across over the hammer or un, between the hammer and the cocked hammer and the firing pin area. Not
okay.
Yeah, do you see what I'm saying?
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, I never shot much on 1911 much.
Yeah.
But
well, they're nice, and they have a nice trigger, and especially if you have a good one. The modern ones are better than they always used to talk about the military ones. You could pick them up and you could shake them back and forth, and they'd rattle. Okay, they had a lot of loose clearances in it. Well, that's because you're on the beaches at Tarawa, and you got sand in it, and you know what I mean. They want it to be able to work, you know. So you're going to drop it in the mud on Guadalcanal, and you got to have it work. Well, most of us just shoot them at the range, and we clean them every time, right? So we can have tighter tolerances on ours.
Well, you're going to have to let us know how that thing shoots once you and your friend get out and.
I can't wait to shoot it. I'm looking forward to that. So thanks for the call today, Tom. I appreciate you listening to the second hour of the show today.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Okay, bye. Yep, bye. We're getting calls in the second hour, so people got the word that we are talking about guns for two full hours on Wham Now. And I was talking about gifts before, and what I wanted to make the point is if you are buying a firearm at a FFL, okay? So let's say you're going to a store, like a big box store like a Cabela's or Bass Pro Shop or something, or if you're going to a gun store like Ann Arbor Arms or like Johnson's Sporting Goods and places like that, the Firing Line, some of the others that are around here, I think T-Rex in Belleville, different stores like that, you're going to end up buying and filling out you fill out the paperwork. Yes, you have a background check that you have to do. There are background checks on all guns that are new that come from a FFL, okay, a federal firearms license dealer, okay? And so the thing is that you fill out a form called a 4473. Now, that form is paper, and also many of them are electronic now. Some of them they have, like at Cabela's, they had a bank of computers where people could sit and fill them out. But what happens is you get to a question in there, and they ask you all the questions with any background check, you rely on the honesty of the person filling it out. You know, if your name is I don't want to let's just say that you're an international terrorist and it says, do you have any plans to overthrow the government? No, absolutely not. We rely on you to have honest answers in there. Do you take drugs? Do you, you know, have you been adjudicated mentally unfit? You are. But when they call it in, then they are able to check those things, okay? Well, one of the questions is, are you buying this gun for yourself? Okay, so the question is, now you're buying a firearm that you're going to give to your 15-year-old son to go deer hunting with you, or your 15-year-old daughter to shoot trap or go deer hunting with you or whatever, okay? And the question, and ostensibly that question is there to prevent straw purchases. Now, by the way, this is one of the fallacies, because if you're a drug dealer and you're a felon and you can't buy a gun, but you've got a girlfriend who is not a felon and she goes and buys it for you, are you buying this gun for yourself? Oh, yes, I'm buying it for myself. And you're giving it to the boyfriend? No, that is a straw purchase, okay? That means you're buying it for somebody who is otherwise prohibited, okay? But if you're buying a firearm, they got a beautiful, you know, Savage Axis in 270 or 6.5 Creedmoor down at over at Dunham's or something like that, okay? And you're going to buy it for your son as a gift. Well, you're buying it for yourself, and then you are gifting it to them. So when you fill out that form, you are buying it for yourself. And then on Christmas Day, you're going to have a long box under the Christmas tree. Okay? And you're gifting it to them then. Okay? If you, and this happened to actually my son-in-law's father, okay, who was buying a shotgun for his son to be able to go hunting with him. Okay? And this was actually before we had pistol, straight wall pistol cartridges for deer hunting in Michigan. And he bought a shotgun, a youth model shotgun, for his son to be able to go deer hunting with him. And he got to the question where it said, are you buying this gun for yourself? And he wrote, no. Well, that terminated the transaction then. And actually, at the time, and I ought to find out if this is still, if it's still holding true now, but at the time they told him, you can no longer buy any firearms at Cabela's because you attempted a straw purchase. Okay? So what happens is he was thought in his mind, he's thinking, no, I'm buying this as a gift for my son, so I'm buying it for my son. No, you're buying it for yourself to gift to your son or daughter or wife or girlfriend or spouse or whatever, okay? I don't care if you if it's a transgendered left-handed homosexual from Iowa, okay? It doesn't matter. You're buying it and you're gifting it to them, so you're buying it for yourself. Okay? Again, that's not that I know any in Iowa, but that's okay if you do that, okay? Because remember, as a gun person, by the way, the gun people are about the most accepting of any people around, that I got to say, if you're at the range and there's a gay guy there with his partner or a gay woman there with her partner and stuff, I don't care. Oh, there's two people shooting. I don't care. I don't care what you put where. I don't care. Okay? I'm accepting. Are you safe? Do you shoot well? What are you shooting? Boy, that looks like a cool gun. That's what the questions I would have. Okay? So let's see, in the little time we have left, the top seven concealed carry mistakes to avoid like the plague. Okay, well, I don't necessarily agree with all of these, but I'm going to read them, and we'll talk about them, okay? Not carrying with a round in the chamber. Now, that one I really agree with, okay? And the point is why would you carry a gun in a holster on your belt or in a pocket holster in your pocket, or in a purse in a pocket holster, or what in a purse that is a concealed carry one that has a holster area in it that doesn't have a chambered round? Because all it is 20 ounces of plastic and metal, okay? Or if it's a revolver, 26 to 30 ounces of stainless steel. You're going to hit the person with it? No. You want to carry around in the chamber. Now, that's one of the reasons I talked last week, and actually Derek did an outstanding promo for me. Thank you, Derek, about this woman who was digging through her purse at Walmart, and her firearm went off. Her Glock 17, which is barely a purse pistol. That's a full-size gun. And it's because something like a lipstick or something was in the trigger guard. She pushed down to get to her wallet, and it went off. Okay, you always have it with a pistol or with a holster that covers the trigger guard. But at least she had a round in the chamber. Okay, you know, I mean, I'll give her one out of two. She had a round in the chamber, but she didn't have it in a proper holster. But the thing is that if you don't know, and I have friends who have said, oh, I don't carry with a round in the chamber. I know when I pull it out of the holster, I practice pulling it right out, and then I rack the slide, and I'm up, and I'm ready to go. Well, that's assuming you have your other hand, your left or right hand, depending on what you are, to be able to rack the slide. Now, we taught it at the CPL classes about using the rear sight on a table or on the gas pump or on the car door or something like that to be able to rack it, because maybe your left arm is busy holding that guy with that knife or that gun off of you, okay? And you've got to find some other way to rack your gun. You can use your belt. You can use your front pocket. But I'll tell you what, it's a lot better to have the round in the chamber, okay? Let's see. Number two, they talked about printing. That's a mistake. Derek, did we have a call there? Somebody disagreeing with me?
Yeah, somebody was a little upset about you mentioning buying a gift for somebody's kid. That was basically the gist of his call.
Oh, well, I want to say that's how I got guns. I got my first shotgun when I was 14 years old, okay, and I got it from my papa. And you know what? I still have that firearm. And you know what? I've been perfectly safe with it because I was taught gun safety, and I know gun safety. So buying a gun for a responsible child, youth, is not an inappropriate thing. And I, you know, if that person would have wanted a, if they, we only got a couple of minutes, if they want to call back, then I'll take it, because I'll argue with them on that. By the way, back in the old days, people went to high school with shotguns in their pickup trucks because they went hunting afterwards. Or they actually had rifles in their lockers. This is in the 40s and 50s and even the 60s. So it's society that's changed. And, yes, we do have to be careful. And if you buy a firearm that your son or daughter is going to use for hunting, then you put it in their gun safe too. It's not in their closet. So but that's fine. Somebody who disagrees with me, I'm happy to talk to him about it. And you could call back next week if you want to, although next week I'll be doing that remote. Let's see. Here's another one. Number three, like I'm not too worried about printing. And actually, in a state that allows open carry, guns can be carried openly. But and by the way, I want to say if that reaction from that listener is because of, oh, it's too soon to talk about buying a gun for a child because of the Oxford High School thing. Now, those parents screwed up. They didn't store it properly. They didn't monitor their kid. They encouraged their kid. You got to learn how to not get caught looking up ammo on your phone in class. What a bunch of crap that is. Those parents deserve to be charged. I think I heard Theron say the parents are not guilty, but they do have responsibility for a 15-year-old. And by the way, that pistol was the father's still. It was registered in his name because they couldn't have registered it in a 15-year-old name. Okay? Okay, so like I said, I'm not too worried about printing. And I don't see that used to be a big deal, but not so much now. Not using a proper gun belt and holster. I agree with that. First of all, you absolutely have to have a holster that properly covers the trigger guard and retains the gun. Okay? The retention could be a device, like a strap, or it could be a device like a little thing that you push. That would be good, too. But it can also just be the clamping force of the holster on it. So at any rate, and the belt, you must have a nice heavy gun belt to ensure that gun is where you're at. By the way, I'm going to tell you that that single action firearm has been sitting on this desk for 2 hours now, and it has not discharged or the trigger has not cocked itself and lowered itself. So, and neither has the semi-automatic. So I don't know, Alec Baldwin. Maybe you had a possessed gun or a remote control gun or something. I don't know. But you did something, and it's your fault. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600. I'll see you next week at Walmart in Saline at 11 o'clock.